Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning and welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to pick up the phone, ask that question that's been keeping you up at night, and hopefully we can give you an answer. So pick up the phone, give us a call. But I got some exciting news today. We've been talking about the fact that we're going to have a West Side location, and we finally got everything confirmed and set up that we have to do legally. And I want to announce this. So if you're on the West Side and you want to meet with us, here's the location that you can meet with us. You still call our same number at 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE, and we'll schedule a meeting for you on our West Side location. And the address is 7105 Southwest Varnes Street, Suite 175, Portland, Oregon, 97223. So if you want to have an appointment on the West Side, we've had a lot of people ask us, when are you going to have a West Side location? Well, we have one now. We already have some appointments scheduled there in January. And if you want to meet us there, we'll be happy to meet you there starting in January. So we'll be available. Also, I want to introduce our newest member to Price Financial Group Wealth Management. And we're very fortunate to have this young man join us. He is a CFP, Certified Financial Planner. He's a CHFC and an AAMS. He's got more degrees than Carter's got liver pills. But he's a class guy, and I want to introduce to all of you Robert Bo Caldwell.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Bo. And you put Bo right, you know, we put him in the firing line. We put him right out here on the air. So if you have a question for Bo, you can ask him a question, right, Bo?
I think that's fair, right? I mean, put me on the radio. People are calling in. I think I need to be available to answer those questions.
There you go. Okay, well, listen, I got exciting news today in addition to the fact that Bo's here now, and that in studio with me is Kevin Staggy.
Hello, Chuck.
Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Good morning, sir.
Hello.
And on the line, we have Carl Jepson.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Carl, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Well, listen, I'm going to do a quick little wrap-up here for my year-end stock report, and then we're going to do Carl's comments. So we're going to come right back with Carl's comments after I bore everybody to death on my stock report. Well, listen, a few weeks ago, I kind of gave my little crystal ball prediction that the market would end up negative year-to-date. I think it was a pretty safe bet, and actually, that's about where it ended up. We're ended up down for the year, and I got to get my right paperwork here, and I'll be able to tell you where we're at. Okay, 2018 in review. The S&P closed on 12/29/17 at 2,673.61. It closed the 28th, which was yesterday. Now, we're going to we're going to have one more day, which is going to be the 31st. I don't expect that to be a big day, but however, with the way things have been going, who knows? It could be a 700-800 point day, either up or down. I don't know. But anyway, as of right now, it closed at 2,485.74. So the S&P is down 7.56% year to date. I thought it was going to be closer to double digits, so I'm happy with that 7.56. The Dow Jones closed at on 12/28 at 23,062.40, down 7.18. Here's the thing. We've had the market, and as I told you before on the show, 74% of the time we end up positive, 26% of the time we end up negative. I'm still going with, I think 2019 is going to be a double-digit return year in the markets. I could be wrong, but every indication is, to me, looks like the economy is good. We have the lowest unemployment since 1967. You know, I got to tell you, the young people in America have never had an economy like we have today to go out and find a job in. In fact, if you want a job, I'm going to be safe enough here to say, if you want a job, there's one out there to go get and go to work. And I've heard people say, well, yeah, but all the jobs out there are low paying. Hey, there are trucking companies that if you can pass the driving test and you can pass the drug test, which is a big problem today for a lot of people, passing the drug test. But if you can do it, there are driving jobs, long-haul driving jobs, that pay $100,000 a year. I mean, I got to tell you, anybody really want to go to work, if you can pass the drug test, you go get a job at $100,000 a year. In fact, I had a gentleman come by that we were talking to about his retirement planning, and I may have mentioned this on the air before, but he's 2 years away from Social Security, and he's looking at a job. He's looking at going long-haul truck driving for 2 years. He figures he can make $100,000 a year. His wife's got a good job. He's going to bank that money. He thinks he can bank about $150,000 for the 2 years of work, and then he can afford to retire at 62 and take his Social Security. And with that additional $150,000, plus his wife has a job, she can't retire for a couple years. So they'll have enough income to live on. Hey, America, what a wonderful place, huh? You got to be happy with that. So I would think anybody who's looking at really wanting to get a job, hey, there's jobs out there. You just got to go get them. I was recently in L.A., went to a Dodger game, and I was amazed driving out from the airport. We drove by a lot of businesses, and almost every one of them had a big sign in the window. Employment. Need workers. I hadn't seen that for a long time, particularly in L.A. So I'm just telling you, there's a lot of opportunity out there. I really think 2019 is going to be a great year. I think politically, it might not be a great year. Might be a lot of infighting. But in spite of those idiots, if we can get them all out of the way and let the economy run, I think the horses are ready to run.
Staffing is the number one issue that I would see, not only across my cross-sections of clients, but in articles that I'm reading and stuff. Staffing, finding qualified staff, people willing to work. It's really the number one issue that managers and people are running into. Just in the accounting industry, accounting's not a real flashy job for the young folk to aspire to. And especially with baby boomers retiring out of the tax side of things, well, just in general, it's going to be an issue. You know, some jobs can be replaced with automation and robotics and all that good stuff. Other services, you gotta have a live body. Although some of that's going to the cloud too. So,
yeah, but even so, it goes to cloud. You still need good, capable people that can handle it, particularly if you're a service organization like ours or like yours, where we deal with people face-to-face. We've got to have staff people that have the agility and the ability to handle changes, and it's not always easy to find those people. In fact, it's getting harder and harder to find those people.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think there's a great job market out there. If you want to achieve right now, there's a lot of opportunity out there to go do it.
Yeah. And if you're a small business owner, pretty key to, if you have those good employees, pretty key to step up and take care of them and make sure they stay in the fold, so you're not at the bottom end of the pecking order trying to retrain and retrain.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, we say in our business, it's a lot easier to keep the clients and the people you have than it is to go find new ones. And we think it's very important to keep good quality people, and you have to pay them. You have to make sure they're happy. You have to make sure you pay them, and you got to make sure they feel like they're part of the team, because it is important. So, you know, and speaking about part of the team, if you want to pick up the phone and you want to ask a question, this is your opportunity. 503-417-9595, toll free, 877-733-1011. Also, we have our Investing Simplified radio, radioshow.com. You can go on and send me a text message if you want to ask me a text message right on there live if you're listening to our podcast. And you can go on there and send me a message. I did have somebody leave a little report there, and I don't know where they got those numbers at on the GDP, but they're certainly lower than numbers. And I want to say I did not put that on there. So if you don't see my my picture there by the comment, you know that I didn't put it on there. Somebody else did. So mine are always there. Well, guys, anything else? Bo, how's it feel to be on the air the first time?
It's pretty exciting, Chuck. Other than, you know, I woke up this morning, I thought, hey, I'm going on the radio, and of course, that's when your cold starts. It's right when you're going to have to be speaking into a microphone. Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, Bo, you got to realize there's probably at any given time 150,000, 200,000 people listening to you and what you're saying. So, you know, it's just a small number.
Yeah, no pressure. You know, it's
fine. No pressure. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Carl's comments. And I am really anxious to hear what Carl has to say for the year-end comments, because this is when we put all the stuff together. And I still got more to talk about as far as the year review, and I'm going to come back a little bit later and talk a little bit more about it. But you're listening to Investing Simplified. We'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepsen.
Okay, Carl, you're on.
Hello, everyone. It is great to be back. And I thought the fact that this New Year's would be a good time to have some New Year's resolutions about estate planning. And so I have a couple, like actually 10. And I thought, as you know, the kind of practice that I try to strive for is one that is not only, you know, legally competent and technically, you know, working and everything out right, but also things that are practical, because a lot of times it's the practical things that make things work best. And so that's why we call it practical estate planning for peace of mind. And so I'm going to give 10 specific potential resolutions. And if these apply to you, then I hope that you will carry them out. The first one is sounds pretty simple and basic and practical, but it is write down a complete list of my children with addresses and phone numbers. If you get that right, you know, that's, you've already passed part of the competency test for making a will. And it also helps you remember who's naughty and nice. So write down that list of names and addresses. That's a really important thing to do, because you may want to pass that on eventually to your estate planning attorney. Number two, find your safe deposit box key. You know, that 1992 will you have may still be in that box. You never know. And then also, if you can't find the key really right away, try looking in the, you know, those little funny bags and other pockets on your golf bag. You know, there are a lot of people put those in there. So you should look in there. Number three, you should write down a list of all of your advisors and their contact information. You know, your financial advisors, CPAs, attorneys, you know, family physician, computer technician, and if you have money in the stock market, your astrologer. So you need to write those people down. The astrologer has the crystal ball, right, Chuck?
That's right. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. That's us. So that's one of those. And then we're back moving on to number four. Just put those lists of assets and advisors in the safe deposit box. That makes sense. And make sure that you have at least one person who's a trusted person and is a signer on the box and knows where you keep the key in your golf bag. So that's important, that somebody knows where those things are.
And that would not be Cousin Eddie.
No, not Cousin Eddie.
Yeah.
Number five. Now, this one sounds funny, but it really makes sense if you've ever run into the problem. Review and confirm all of your beneficiary designations. And I know that seems like you're kind of redundant or whatever, but you should look at your accounts. And if you've got joint accounts and you have beneficiary designations, or what we sometimes call TODs, transfer on deaths, or PODs, pay on death, you want to find out and make sure that those things are what you think they are, especially if you've had some financial institution like a bank or something who's either been swallowed up by a bigger bank, or who's swallowed up a smaller bank, or changed its name or moved its headquarters to, you know, some weird place. I've often found that even though that all of those things are supposed to be, you know, stored electronically, that those kind of moves and those kinds of things that do happen, and just simple, migration ends up losing those things. And when it comes down right down to it, those beneficiary designations are going to determine who gets the money and whatever they have in their records. And if they have it in their records that they don't have anything in their records, then that goes to your estate. And then that means they're going to have to probate it just to get out of that account. So that's kind of a messy thing. So it's very important that you confirm those things and then make sure that they're consistent with your estate plan. Number six, review and update and confirm your passwords, PIN numbers, logins, et cetera. That's self-explanatory. I wouldn't recommend you put your list of those in the safe deposit box, not the golf bag. So number seven, review the chapter on estate planning in the now world-famous book, Investing Simplified by Chuck Price. That would be good, sir.
Oh, yeah. I'll pay you later.
Okay. We have a caller?
Absolutely. We do have a caller on the line. We have Amanda has a question about Roth IRA and a will question.
Okay. I possibly will be the first for Bo. Is it advisable for a Roth IRA, this person does not have any IRAs at this time, 62, looking for maybe retiring soon, single, no children, assets of maybe around $400,000, he owns his own home, he owns his autos, can he invest in an IRA, and is that smart at this age?
So the question is, it, just to clarify, is he allowed to contribute to a Roth IRA, and then, and or if he is allowed, is that a good idea for him, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So if he, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, go, you know, turn it to the CPA, but the only rule for the, you know, contributing to IRAs in general is, Are you making W-2 income? Now, whether or not you can contribute to an IRA depends on the amount of income that he's making. I don't know the number off the top of my head. Perhaps Kevin does.
Oh, nobody knows that.
Well, also, does he have a retirement plan at work?
No, he does not. And if he retires, which he hasn't yet, he would not have that income wages-wise coming in. So that might eliminate him right there.
Yeah, it will eliminate him if he hasn't made W-2 income in that current year. You actually have until April 15th or 16th, depending on when the tax filing date is, of the following year to contribute for the previous year. So if hypothetically he was going to retire in, let's say, January, but he still had income for this last year, 2018, he can do a Roth IRA contribution between now and April 16th, as long as, again, he hasn't made too much money. And again, as a single person, I don't know the number off the top of my head. I want to say it's right around $110,000. I'd have to check to get to the exact number. That's my guesstimate on what the maximum he can make. What he can do as well, if he doesn't have another retirement plan or another IRA, is he can do what's called a non-deductible contribution to his traditional IRA and then immediately convert it to Roth. The main benefit for Roth, and I'm sure Chuck and Kevin have gone over this before, but the main benefit for a Roth is that it grows tax deferred, and then when you take the money out,
right,
he's already over 59 and a half, it's tax free. So
what does it cost going in?
So it doesn't cost you taxes going in, it's after tax money. So it would be money, kind of think about it, it's money that you've already paid taxes on, because it's in your bank account. So it came out of your wages, they withheld the taxes, you've already paid taxes on it. So it doesn't cost any money necessarily to go in. Depends on what you invested in, but if, you know, the maximum you can contribute is $6,500 per year. So it kind of hurts you in terms of, if he's thinking about retiring, how much he can actually put in there.
Yeah, that perhaps, I mean, $6,500 doesn't mean anything. He was thinking about maybe $75,000.
Right, yeah. So you can only do $6,500 per year. If he does have, the difference is, you mentioned he doesn't have an employer retirement plan. Does he have a traditional IRA?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, so he'd be limited to the $6,500 per year. Might limit his the positives for him, but
he's not self-employed, is he? He does work for a company?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. He's limited then.
Yeah, so the benefits for him may be limited, especially if he's not planning on working for several more years, because then he's only going to be able to put in maybe $13,000 right over the next 2 years.
So he just needs to invest that money otherwise.
I mean, probably, you know, without knowing his exact situation. But, yeah, he should be, you know, you try to think about the benefits of the Roth really build up if you're younger, because or you're still working for a long time. The nice thing about investing it not in the tax-deferred account is that you get the benefit of, if there are losses, you know, if we have a market like we did this last year, you can write off those losses. And he only has to pay taxes on the money that he earns in that account. So if he took that $75,000, invested it, It's $80,000. Were to take it all out, the taxable amount of that's only $5,000, right? It's only the difference. So he doesn't have to pay taxes on the $75,000 again, because that's his basis. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Most of what you said would apply to a traditional IRA too.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. My other question is, I'm trying to get this boy straightened out. You know. Not have a will.
Same person?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was telling him about LegalZoom. I know that's going against you guys, but under his circumstances of being never married, no kids, it's just a simple will, is there anything wrong with LegalZoom?
Well, generally, I would say no. I haven't really reviewed their documents, but I've heard about them, and I don't think that they're, and I would think that would be the kind of situation that they would work best in, because,
yeah,
like you said, it's a very basic concept, and so certainly that would work. I think the main thing, though, and I assume they do this, is that there are specific rules as to how you sign a will and how you execute it with witnesses and things. So you'd want to make sure that you knew what you're doing about that. Now, as a general rule, those of us, you know, I mean, most of us lawyers don't really want to have somebody bring in a Zoom will and say, you know, we want you to fix it. I mean, you know, I mean that we don't, you know, I typically wouldn't do that. I would just do a new one, but I wouldn't tinker with the, you know, with the old one, just because, you know, it probably would end up costing more money to tinker with it than it would be to, you know, just do a new one. And so anyway, so that's a, you know, that's really it. And I don't really, have a big problem with that, especially if it's, you know, pretty straightforward. However, I can tell you that sometimes even straightforward doesn't work very well. I had a case, in fact, this last year, involving a fellow who got, it wasn't a Zoom, but it was a, you know, a form that he got somewhere, and it was partly printed, and then it had blocks where he could write in the stuff that he wanted, and in the place where he, at the top of one page, it says specific gifts, and he says, I give everything to my kids, and everything else I give to Goodwill, and take the rest to the dump. Okay. Then there was one that said residuary clause, and then he said on that one he says I give everything else to the dump. Well, he had a will, he had a house, and so. When he died, we had to probate the house, probate the will. And so we filed it all in there, and everybody thought it was just fine. And I looked at that, and I thought, well, everybody, obviously what they were talking about was that he wanted all the junk out of the house, and anything that they didn't want, or didn't want to donate to Goodwill, to just dump it. So that's the way I approached it with the petition. Well, the court said, hey, guys, guess what? You've got to name Goodwill and the dump as a beneficiary because it's written in the will. Oh. And I said, you got to be kidding. Oh, no, we've got to do it. So anyway, we kind of redid everything and fixed it. And, you know, I wrote to the Goodwill and I wrote to the dump. I mean, I wrote to Metro, actually. I don't know who's the dump. But anyway, so the point is that, you know, and the whole problem that you know, stirred that along was that there were those printed parts and then there the written part. And because what he wrote in under residue, and residue is supposed to mean everything else. He wrote in, you know, the dump and the Goodwill. Well, the problem with that is if this would have, it could have followed a different course. It could have been interpreted that Goodwill was supposed to get the house, or the dump, or both. And so, even though that didn't make any sense to anybody, and you know, but fortunately, we were able to get that all fixed. But nonetheless, the big problem is that a lot of times, and I'm sure that the guy didn't really realize what residue really meant. And so, there's the problem. So, you know, simple mistake, anybody could do it, but you know, it was a very messy thing.
Yeah. Well, I read
the cost of the cost of doing the kind of simple will that you're doing, spending a half an hour with a lawyer, is probably not going to be much more than what you got to spend on buying the form. So,
under our circumstances, about what would it be?
I don't know. Roughly, generally speaking, I usually do stuff in sort of like projects, but. You know, I would say, you know, a couple $100 for the will, if depending on how, you know, there again, I can't tell you for sure, but some people, you know, if there are some people who would do it for, you know, $100.50 or something like that, I think, to just review it and that kind of thing. But you'd have to kind of shop that around.
That isn't a lot more than what legal Zoom charges, probably.
I don't know what Zoom charges, but, you know. So.
Well, it varies a little bit. I read their form, and the only thing that looked kind of, it wouldn't apply here, but if you have a beneficiary that is underage, and there's a whole lot of taking care of that person.
But yeah, there would be some trust provisions going on in there, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that jumps it up into a new category.
Yeah, right. Well, that pretty well answers my question, and I will give him some answers.
All righty. Very good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, good call. Hey, Carl, we're going to take a quick break and come right back and finish up with Carl's comments and then get into Kevin's, the tax investigator. So we'll be right back with Investing Simplified. Hold on. Give us a call. Pick up the phone. No foolish question when it comes to your money, your estate plan, or your taxes. We'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsenlaw.com.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers.
Well, Kevin here till Carl finishes. But Carl, we got a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and take this because he's been holding quite a while. And okay. Then we'll come right back to Carl's comments to finish up. But Jeff's got a question for Bo about tariff on China. Is that your question, Jeff?
Well, actually, I'm not asking just him. I welcome a new spokesman to your team. Maybe he gives a little different perspective to things that are going on. But no, my concern is, and you've downplayed this tariff thing, and I don't know why, because I think the tariff is the perfect storm coming for next year's investments. I have a couple businesses, and we rely almost 95% on imports, and this country runs on imports, and a lot of my suppliers, I'm in a wholesale industry, are not willing to commit to pricing for next year because of the uncertainty. So because of that, I am suffering because we're not getting orders. Now, also, Walmart has announced that they're going to raise prices almost 10%. And you know yourself that the American people are geared on one thing, get the best price. And they're not going to be paying between 10 and 30% more. I don't know how you don't figure that affects the economy. So I'd like to hear your gentleman's perspective on that. You haven't really talked very much about it.
Well, we've discussed it several times on the show, but nobody really wins in a tariff war. We've discussed that before. But at some point in time, I happen to go along with the fact that if we're getting screwed over and over again, and have been for 40 years, in dealing particularly with China, at some point you got to say, you know what, guys, we're going to quit giving you $600 billion more trade deficit to you than we get. And at some point in time, we got to divide that in half and maybe go equal and negotiate a little bit better deal.
I'm not arguing with you with that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this, but the American people are the ones that are going to end up suffering because we're going to have to pay more for the products.
I mean, I think that's entirely possible that we may end up having to pay more for the products. And, just a second,
And don't you think that's going to slow up the economy when your buying power becomes less? And you can't, think, like, example, I have a friend of mine that's a builder. They're already paying more money for lumber coming out of Canada.
Sure, and that's a possibility. I'm not up on exactly what the new agreement. I know we just had an agreement that was signed between Canada, Mexico, and the United States.
Yep.
We were kind of talking about this in the break. Like Chuck said, nobody wins in a tariff war. And like you mentioned, when we're having this trade war, it can jack up prices. I think the overall goal of the trade war and utilizing the tariffs, and maybe that's not the right stick to use, but we've been trying, you know, like Chuck said, we've been trying to use a carrot for so long, and so they're trying something different. Hopefully, I think the goal, I think we can all hope that the goal of the tariffs and is to eventually remove those and to try and get to, I think the goal is to get to a fair trading platform, which should hypothetically help those folks who are importing lumber or importing things from China. I know a lot of industries are importing things. I know that there's uncertainty, I think, is the biggest problem. I think you mentioned that the uncertainty is the hardest part, not necessarily the tariffs themselves or the higher prices. It's not knowing where the prices are going to end up. And I think if you really think about it, the other problem with the uncertainty is not necessarily the higher prices, but maybe the lower prices. I mean, I think those folks who aren't willing to quote prices, I would imagine they're also thinking, well, maybe it might go the other way too.
Well, the tariffs are signed when they land to this country. So, and it takes anywhere from 120 to 180 days to get a product out of, you know, China, Japan, any of those countries. So between those times, they could go up, it could go down, nobody knows. So they're not willing to quote it. So my clients, would you buy something from me? And I said, well, hey, Bo, when it gets here, I'll let you know the price.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Well,
yeah.
You know, here's the thing, Jeff. There are some industries like yours that are directly affected negatively. There are other industries, and I'll give you one example. Ford Motor Company, for example, by the negotiating on the tariffs with Europe, Ford Motor Company used to have to have a $20,000 additional payment on their cars. They virtually could not compete with German-made cars in Europe. That by getting that reduced, now Ford can go over and actually sell their car less than a BMW and actually get some car sales. So even though...
I'm not arguing with you on that.
Yeah, it might be...
I'm not arguing with you on that point, because I have sold Canada and the client has paid tariffs. I've sold other countries. So I've done business out of this country. So I know it goes the other way. What I'm saying is, but the economy could be affected by this.
Well, of course.
Next year
the economy...
Because of the uncertainty.
Yeah. In fact, the biggest reason for volatility in the stock market, we've talked about this for the last 10 years we've been on the air. The biggest problem with volatility in the market is uncertainty. That is the
exactly.
thing that's yeah. why we're having such a crazy volatile market, uncertainty. There's a lot of uncertainty. Are we going to be fighting political wars for the next 2 years? Are we still, you know, we got Korea somewhat calmed down, but could that activate up? We got now this crazy guy in Russia who's got a new nuclear weapons that he's demonstrating like he's King Kong. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, not only on just trade, but I agree with you. It could affect the economy, but so many things can affect the economy.
Well, this is just short-term choppy water for something that needs a long-term fix. And so we're all going to have to pay the price for stepping up the short term. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. And some people pay the price more than others. You're in the import-export business. That's going to be choppy for you.
You know, Jeff,
and the American consumer.
You made me think about something, Kevin. Hey, Jeff, you have your business, right?
Yes.
Okay.
More than one. I own more than one business.
But are all your businesses? Do all your businesses have more debt than income?
No, none of them.
And what I'm asking is the United States,
right?
United States is $22 trillion in debt. And if you want to get down to real dirty numbers, we're really about $200 trillion if you want to consider Medicare and Social Security and all that other crap. But just straight bottom line, the national debt clock says we're at $22 trillion in debt. At some point in time, I hope some president and some Congress takes a look at this country like you and I take a look at our businesses and say, you know what? We better have some short-term pain for long-term gain and get this debt done, because if we don't, we are sending the next two generations into taxation like we have never seen in America. Because
I agree,
we can
100% with that.
We can't continue running up a trillion plus debt every year, and that's what we're doing, and that's got to stop. It's got to change. And so many of these weak-kneed politicians out there, don't have the guts to stand up and say, you know, because they're getting theirs. They get, hey, they get their 150 grand no matter what, and they get their 500,000 right. expense allowance. But you know what? You guys like you and me, and like Kevin and Bo, we're all paying taxes for those guys to screw it up. And I just wish they would take the same look that you and I take on our companies, how we want to run our companies and how we don't run our companies into debt like they do.
Well, the only answer to that is to vote them out of office.
And right. I don't vote for incumbents. Amen. I agree. I totally agree. But
well, all right,
listen.
Well, you guys have a good year.
Hey, appreciate the call, Jeff. And we agree to disagree there on some of it. But on most of it, I think we agree 100%.
And good luck, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're rooting for the – we're all rooting for less uncertainty, you know, however we get there. You know, we mentioned in the break it's – it may not, tariffs may not be the right idea. I'm not sure. I turned to Kevin and said, that's why I don't want to be president. I mean, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good point.
Happy New Year to you, Jeff.
Happy New Year, Jeff. Okay, Carl, we're going to come back and have a little more Carl's comments, or I think you had a couple more points.
Oh, okay. I've got three. I can do them shortly.
Sounds good. Let's hear those final three.
Right. Okay. Yeah, there we go. The silence is hard when I can't see you.
That's right.
I'm sure you guys are just, you know, laughing around. No, whatever. But okay. So I'm on number eight, and number eight is sell or donate every piece of exercise equipment you haven't used last year.
That would flood the market and drop the price of that commodity completely. And
I know, but that's the reason for that is number nine is clean your garage. Yeah. And number 10, after you've done all of that, look in the mirror and thank God that you made it another year.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
6 feet up is better than 6 feet under. That's
right.
Yeah. Well, listen, with that, we're going to jump right into the tax investigator because Kevin's got some exciting tax news.
Well, are we going to blow through this next break or should we attack it after the break?
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and we'll take a quick break and come back with the tax investigator and the Knowledge Trust all in one. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Hey, listen, if you've got a question and it's been keeping you up at night, pick up the phone, give us a call, ask the question, 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. And Carl, you're still on the line with us, correct?
I am.
Excellent. Yes. Well, I'd like our listeners to step into a phone call that happens between you and me quite often. You and I go over trust and wills, and we read the finer points, and we discuss what it really means and what the intent and what we can and can't get away with and such. Well, I thought they could step in and listen to, I've got a legal document in front of me, and this addresses a topic that some might find difficult, controversial, and I want to warn our listeners, it may be disturbing to some.
Whoa.
This is right. So I will just get right into it here, and I will read this document, and maybe it applies to you, maybe it doesn't, and we'll see, and maybe Carl can give us some insight, because, you know, he's the one that interprets this legalese. So, whereas, on or about the night prior to Christmas, there did occur at a certain improved piece of real property, hereinafter referred to as the house, a general lack of stirring by all creatures therein, including, but not limited to, a mouse. A variety of foot apparel, e.g. stockings, socks, etc. et al., had been temporarily affixed by and around the chimney in said house with appropriate care, in the hope and or belief that St. Nick, a.k.a. St. Nicholas, a.k.a. Kris Kringle, a.k.a. Father Christmas, a.k.a. Santa Claus, hereinafter referred to simply as Claus, would arrive at some time thereafter. The minor residents, i.e. the children, of the aforementioned house were located in or around their individual sleeping locations or beds and were nestled and engaged in nocturnal hallucinations, i.e. dreams, wherein visions of confectionery treats, including but not limited to candies, nuts, and or sugar plums, without and not meeting FDA labeling requirements, did dance, cavort, and or otherwise appear in said dreams. Whereupon the party of the first part, sometimes hereinafter referred to as I, being the joint owner or tenant in common in fee simple absolute of the house, with the party of the second part, hereinafter referred to as Mama, and said Mama had retired for a sustained period of sleep. At such time, the parties of both parts were clad in various forms of headgear, e.g. a kerchief and a cap, for a long seasonal nap. Suddenly, and without notice or prior warning, there did occur upon the unimproved real property, adjacent and appurtenant to said house, i.e. the lawn, a certain disruption of unknown nature, cause, and or circumstance. The party of the first part noticed the moon in full phase on the topmost part of the new fallen snow. The party of the first part was informed and believed, and based upon such information and belief, alleged that said moon gave the luster of midday, otherwise known as noon, to objects below. At that time, the party of the first part did observe with some degree of wonder and or disbelief a miniature sleigh, hereinafter referred to as the vehicle, being pulled and or drawn rapidly through the air by approximately 8 reindeer. The driver of the vehicle appeared to be and in fact was the previously referenced Claus. And I will jump forward to the appropriate part here. The party of the first part observed that Claus's eyes, facial expressions, cheeks, nose would not have passed a field sobriety test. Claus thereafter immediately began to fill the stocking of the minor children, which hung adjacent to the chimney with toys and other small presents. Said items did constitute completed gifts to said minors pursuant to the applicable provisions of the U.S. Tax Code Section 2502. Anyway, you get the gist of where this is going. I'm just going to leave it right there.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
So that's the tax investigator for today.
Is there a legal complaint on this or what?
I enjoyed that read, and I figured you guys would too. And Carl, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all.
Yes, and you folks, for sure.
That's right. So with that, that's the tax investigator for today.
Well, Carl, have you got more?
No, I'm good. I'm done.
Okay.
After that, how can I follow that? You know?
That's right.
Well, you know, when you were having a conversation with the lady about Zoom, legal Zoom, it made me remember back to a time here a few years ago when we had a client who, there was a guy going through town doing living trusts for like $300. And mm-hmm. I had a client in Portland that did their trust, and I kept trying to get him to go see an attorney and get things done correctly, and he didn't do it. And the end result was it cost his family about $24,000 in additional estate taxes that they wouldn't have had to pay if they had it set up properly to account for the marital deduction. And and it was a simple fix, but they wouldn't pay the money to go see an attorney to get it done. You know, maybe cost them on the high end $1,000, $2,000, but instead they got to pay $24,000. So sometimes when you look at cheap doesn't always mean the best way to go, and it's not always the less expensive way is the preferred way, because really at the end of the day, it's what the final number is that comes out that counts. So yeah, sometimes paying the money to sit down with somebody like you, it's just like I had a guy that I sent to Kevin because he's doing tax. You know, nobody's given him tax advice. He has a guy that does his income taxes, but the guy gives him no tax advice. I gave him more tax advice in 3 minutes than his CPA has given to him in 10 years. But I told him, look, I'm telling it to you from a standpoint of being in the financial planning practice, but if you sit down with Kevin, he can save you even more money. Now, he's going to cost you money to make money, but you know what? To me, that's money well spent.
Well, and selecting your team is pretty important. You know, when I don't receive every client that calls. I want to be a good fit for them and them for me, and I don't tailor to every situation, but when you're in the fold, I treat you like family. I prepare your taxes as if they were my own. We take the time, our whole team does. We have at least two or three people working on every return for quality. So, you know, that may be overkill for some situations, and there's no need for that. But, you know, kind of like you say, Chuck, what you don't know can hurt you. At some point, there's always something in your life, whether you're going through a marriage, whether you're going through retirement, whether you're coming doing some estate planning, everybody has key points in their life where they need the professional, and that's a great time to talk with somebody.
Right. Well, you know, I always liken it, you know, when people talk about, not that there's, you know, we always talk, there's a place for LegalZoom, there's a place for those sort of low cost options. But when people talk about, hey, I don't want to go see an attorney, when I've referred clients to say, hey, you need to go get this taken care of, they say, well, how much is that going to cost? But the question I ask them, is it the price or is it the cost? Because, you know, I liken it to, I liken it to a bicycle. You know, if you can go buy a bicycle from a brand that, a no-name brand, and it's only going to cost you $60, you're probably going to have to replace that bicycle in a year or two. Or you could go spend $500 on a Schwinn, and that's going to last you the rest of your life, right? So do you want to spend $50-$60 every couple of years, or do you want to spend $500 for the rest of your life? So is it the price or the cost? And that's a bicycle as opposed to estate planning or your taxes, and that's, you know, the difference of it could end up costing you thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Yep, that's right.
So that's our two bits.
That's right.
Well, listen, Kevin, are you going to be here next week?
Yep, I sure will.
Okay. Bo and I are going to be out of town to a business meeting, but Kevin will be here, and Carl, hopefully you'll call in
come in. Wait a minute. You just set me up.
We sure did.
It's on record now. I mean, he
it's
has to
record.
Come.
It's on record. You right, recorded so. Here. So anyway, listen, hey, Carl, how's somebody get a hold of you?
My telephone number is 971-229-0585 and CarlJepson.com, CarlJepsonLaw.com. That's where I am. That's where it's something like that. I guess I don't try to find myself on the internet very often. So it is CarlJepsonLaw.com.
And Kevin?
We're at Baker-Colson.com. Our phone number is 503-666-5569.
And Bo, where can they reach us?
You know, interestingly enough, they can reach us at the same place, right? 503. He's putting me on the spot like he put Kevin on the spot, but it's 503-253-3000. Is it 877-50-PRICE?
There you go.
877-50-PRICE. Look, I passed the test.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely. And listen, don't forget, we now have a West Side location. If you've been a longtime listener and you wanted to talk to us on the West Side, we have appointments. We can meet you out there at 7105 Southwest Varn Street, Suite 175, Portland, Oregon, 97223. And of course, we're at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216. And don't forget to check out pfgwm.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we also have a weekly podcast at thatcast.com. Go to our website. You can click on thatcast.com and hear a lot of great podcasts in the Portland area. Have a great new year, and we'll be talking to you in 2019.
Bryce Financial Group Wealth. Bryce Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.